This is Engineer Eric from the Jimmy Doan Show. You're listening to part two of our April 6th, 2009 Jimmy Doan Show.
I got that mojo.
Oh, this is the original Jimmy Doan Show. Woo! This was our first bumper music, or certainly it with the, one of the first.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. The Jimmy Doan Show.
Yeah. Been a while.
Been a while.
Hard, so, no, you think about it, it's been 10 years.
10 years, yeah.
Over 10 years now.
Well, it's 98, I think. 97, 98, 98. Was it
98?
Yeah. That's right. This is 2009.
For purposes of copyright violation, it's only been a few weeks.
Yeah, that's
right. It's been three shows.
Counselor Curtis climbing in there.
That's right. And
he decided to just drive around for a while, so he's on his phone now.
Yeah, we had to call him. Yeah. Well, today's Wednesday, what, the 8th?
Yes. Technically, it is.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We said it was
April 8th, 2009.
But it's kind of the show from the 6th.
Yeah, right. It's a continuation because we got bored.
Right.
Well, we have news. I mean, of course, there is some news since Monday.
Well, we did a whole show back then. It just sucked. So now we're doing part two.
Right.
Right.
Hopefully we'll not
we got
suck.
Tons of material.
We also are being broadcast now on uswebtalkradio.com. And I think our show times are Tuesday from 1 to 3 p.m. and Thursdays from 9 to 11 p.m.
Hey, Richard. We'll put a link to that.
So when you hear us we'll put a link to that. I did actually on the homepage. But we're testing this out. We're breaking a couple times and putting a couple little ads in there. So if you want to hear the ads,
yeah, buy it. Whatever it is.
Buy it, whatever it is.
It tastes good.
Yeah.
It tastes good.
It
tastes like chocolate.
Tastes like
chicken.
Chocolate.
Yeah. Chocolate chicken. Chicken fried stick and shake.
What are we talking about?
All right. Well, we're back in for part two.
All right. Well, I got a couple of things here we can rip through pretty quick.
Okay.
Right. We're up to Hugo again.
Hugo?
Hugo, as we speak, Hugo's in China.
Wait a second. Don't we have Hugo?
Yeah, you guys just caught me by surprise there.
Oh.
In fact, we had listen to Hugo. Gino made me send this to him. He's like, you gotta send me that Hugo Chavez.
And we need a new one for Fidel's in the news. We got to talk about that one. Fidel. He had just had a wonderful meeting with some of our government employees.
Really?
And they were touched by his
touched.
I'm sure by his kindness.
Yeah, I'm sure. Anyway, Hugo, he's in China as we speak. He's got a 2-day visit to China, which I think was yesterday and today. I'm not sure. He had gone through Japan, and of course, he made a comment that said the North Korean satellite launch was a satellite and nothing to worry about, no problem there. But of course, what he's going to do is he's going to get the same thing the Cubans did. I guess he's going to try and get Chinese on board to take his oil because we take, like half of it or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we get tons of his oil. Even in spite of the fact nobody likes anybody,
right?
We suck up like tons of his oil. I mean, like boatloads.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, China and Venezuela have invested $12 billion fund to finance joint development. And then he laid over out. He complained about George Bush and
still complaining about Bush?
No, about Barack.
Oh.
Because the United States was still acting like an
Bushama, you mean?
Yeah, it's just, yeah, right, Bushama, right, exactly.
Did you see that? Do you see that email? That was freaky.
Yeah,
that was an amazing transformation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, it was like a morph. It was a morph thing.
Right. It was a facial morph from
Bush
George
to
W.
Obama.
To Barack.
To Obama and like five strings.
Yeah. Baby.
I guess I'm going to have to put a link to that.
No, but I thought it was interesting that, of course, in February he was elected king for life or something, a King Jong-il thing.
Oh, perfect.
So we're going to have him around.
Well, that seems fair.
Yeah. Well,
I'm sure that was Democratic.
Country goes down the toilet. Of course, it's interesting. We're decided to follow the same way with our money situation.
Absolutely. Government Motors.
That's it.
I mean, General Motors. Yeah, take it.
Government.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Government. Well, I thought it was interesting that the what they're going to do, I understand, is they're going to put up one of those big blimp-like things with the GM logo and then have all the cars parked on the White House front lawn.
Mm.
So you can come in there and they'll make you a deal.
Oh, right.
They can do the financing right there. They go across the street and get the money from the Fed. And no, that's my understanding. They're gonna shipload a whole boatload of them down there.
Right.
And they're gonna have a special moving the iron sale.
Right. And Monty Hall is gonna be right there on the front lawn.
Yeah.
Sunday.
That's right. Sunday. Come on down. You will not get these deals again. Well, of course, speaking of cars.
Well, the government, they're also gonna go over there, I think, and meet with some of the heads of GM here in the next week or two, and tell them what to do. I mean,
just their head.
Right, and advise them on some. What would you say, Counselor?
I said just their head.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we wish.
Yeah, well, I thought it was interesting that there was one of the greatest cartoonists, and he's got his own website, is Ramirez. And he's really a really great. He's kind of a conservative cartoonist, and he has one of these cartoons that shows, well, you know, like one of the auto execs looking down in this huge monster hole, this black hole, and it's labeled like federal debt. And the guy leaning over says, "Now you're going to tell me how to run a car company or something like that." You have to go get the cartoon.
We'll put a link to it.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, we probably should, actually. Anyway, one of the things that is interesting, of course, Chrysler, you know, is supposed to be, speaking of cars, Chrysler is supposed to be in...
Italy.
Italy, right.
Eating a little lasagna. Yeah,
that's right, but...
Bredo Sticco.
But you notice they're
because the government
in
told
New
them
York.
To.
In New York.
Yeah.
They had the auto big auto show in New York.
Yeah.
New Yorko.
Exactly. One company showed a brand spanking new SUV.
Ooh.
And yeah? It was Chrysler.
Really?
Nice. Yeah, and because it was, you know, and then people were wandering around saying, well, you're a bailout. I mean, you know, and of course the Chrysler guy said, basically told the government to shove it up their butts and said, look, we make a lot of money on this Jeep Cherokee 2, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting in this article.
That guy might not be around for long.
Probably not. It's the Grand Cherokee, which clocks in at 20 miles per gallon in its two-wheel drive. Well, one of the things I thought was interesting, and the guy didn't, this is from the Associated Press, it turns out that they make a lot of money on that particular vehicle. And people want it. And, of course, what the guy says is, hey, you know, we understand what you're talking about, your smaller cars and green and, you know, solar-powered, whatever the hell it is, car. Mm-hmm. But the fact is,
the market is
saying they want this car,
right.
And they will be willing to pay for it,
right.
And we make a lot of money on it.
Right.
And if you want your money back, Gov, this is the car we're going to sell.
Right. Right.
So I thought it was interesting because the guy goes through here, and I don't know what the exact mileage is, but he says, in fact, the new Grand Cherokee's new engine does manage to eke out higher fuel mileage on top of additional power, assuming a consumer opts... For the 20-mile-per-gallon Cherokee, which is the two-wheel drive, it means that a driver who logs 10,000 miles a year will spend $1,020.
Mm.
And so forth. Then, of course, it's got all kinds
downhill with a tailwind.
No, 20 miles a gallon.
Right, downhill with
today's
tailwind.
Prices. But it says here, I love this part, still it's no gas sipper. I don't know why the guy from Associated Press says it. It's no gas sipper. The 2009 Toyota Camry, by contrast, gets 26 miles to the gallon, would cost the same driver $785 a year in gas. Now, here's the deal. There's 200, it's a, you know, 25% increase in there. You know, it's $200 extra to drive this SUV,
right.
Haul everything on the goddamn planet. You know, $200 a year. Hello. And no. And the fact is, both of these cars are $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 cars. The depreciation is like $4,000 a year, okay? And this guy says, oh, well, we should buy a Camry to save $200. I mean, I'm thinking, no, and I've said this before, at $4 a gallon, gas is still the cheapest thing you put in a car. People don't understand. You're paying, I mean, even when you buy a Hyundai, I mean, for God's sakes, they depreciate $1,000 or $2,000 a year, and if you're getting 40, 50 miles a gallon on whatever you're getting on the damn thing in your little, you know, roller skate car, the simple fact is, you know, your skateboard modified with a windshield or something, and the simple fact is that you're going to save, you know, a couple $100 on gas, and you're going to lose it all in the depreciation. I mean, the depreciation and the insurance.
Well,
right.
You're also going to lose it all as soon as you have one little fender bender.
Well, that's the other thing, right?
And
I mean, you nick somebody. At least
your leg is ripped off.
Yeah, well, that's
by
the nice thing about
you.
You have to think about this SUV, the Jeep Cherokee. I mean, it's got air suspension. It's got like 93 airbags, and the most important thing. It's got 47 cup holders. that's the real key. That's what people buy.
Does it come with a cigarette lighter, though?
Kegerator, right?
No, it probably doesn't come with a cigarette lighter, knowing these ways. They all have now something that looks like a cigarette lighter hole called AUX Power.
Right.
So,
sweet.
Anyway, the whole point is...
I wonder if they make a cigarette lighter that plugs into AUX Power.
How long do you think that would take? About a nanosecond. Yeah.
Well, you know, I get back to this. Just let me add a little tidbit to this, because I literally today just watched a Discovery Channel show about the California's big energy gamble, and they had an old clip of Schwarzenegger when he was at the Hummer plant or whatever, and he goes, you know, the minute I saw this car, I knew I had to own one.
And I think it's like 8 miles to the gallon.
Yeah, he's probably got five of them.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Well, of course, that's the market. Yeah. He can afford them.
I know. And then they also went to the guy who was the largest car dealer, you know, Worthington or somebody out there.
Yeah.
And
Cal Worthington.
Cal Worthington. Yep, he's a legend. And so they went to him, and he's, you know, got his big hat on and his white collared shirt and his tie. And he's saying... he goes, you know, the deal is that Californians, they want to drive SUVs. He goes, hello? He goes, I make more money on the used SUVs than I do on new cars.
Yeah.
You know, and he goes, that's the way it is.
That's the way it is. You know. And thus it should be.
Yep.
I mean, the market is speaking.
You don't have to worry about that for too long.
I'm not worried about it, but I'll tell you this.
You're saying the market's drying up, Counselor?
I got some news. I got some bad news on the driving front in the last couple weeks.
Oh, lay it on us.
Yep.
Okay, all right. This is five different quick little news segments that are all related, okay? Number one, you might have seen Dante Stallworth, the Cleveland Browns NFL player, right, was arrested.
Right, football player, right.
Yep, was arrested for DUI manslaughter.
Right, he ran into a pedestrian early in the morning in Miami Beach. He had some alcohol in his blood.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's 0.12 or something,
Right.
Right.
It was over the current legal limit.
Now the pedestrian was not on the sidewalk. The pedestrian was in the
road. And not in the crosswalk either.
Not in the crosswalk.
According to Stallworth's original statement, the guy was laying down in the road. But it doesn't matter. The point is that he's been arrested and charged with this, and he's facing about 15 years prison. And really, this is, you know, somebody who didn't try to commit any crime. So you can still have the American dream. You can be, you know, rise from poverty. I don't know if he did or not, you know, but play football, be a legend, sports hero.
And an accident happens, and...
Exactly. And if you think it's limited to DUI, I got a second story. A woman in California just sentenced to 6 years prison for texting while she got in an accident.
Yeah. And of course, I think I got that, and I sent something back to you, and I was wondering, what difference does it make that she was texting?
The point is that they used to have to tie it to something. They used to have to tie it to alcohol. But as you're going to see in the third item I'm going to tell you, this truck driver crashes, hits a bus, and charged him with vehicular homicide, and they're just charging him with basically careless driving with a fatality.
And so DWT is going to be the new thing, huh?
Driving with accident. You know, driving with death.
No, you know? I was thinking DWT is driving while texting.
Well, it's going to be anything. My point is that...
Driving while having a DWM, driving while McDonald's.
Yeah,
hamburger.
Exactly.
Driving while McDonald's eating.
DWC, driving while coffee drinking something.
Exactly.
No, that's exactly right. Yeah.
What about driving while driving?
How about driving? Well, of course, yeah, they used to have driving while black, which was down in Louisiana,
are all of these still in the process? Or we know what Stallworth is doing, but what
right,
about
well, Stallworth's going to get a number of years, I can tell you that.
Really?
If things go the way they normally go in Florida, then yeah, he's going to get, you know, 5 years prison or something.
Jesus. Well, I mean, really?
He'll serve 2.5 or something, right?
No, in Florida you serve 80%, so he'll serve 4.
Okay, but I mean, doesn't he have like $1 million? Can he hire just like the best attorney on the planet?
The point is, he took the breathalyzer. I mean, it should be a relatively slam dunk case for them. I mean, we'll see what, you know, I mean, if he gets the dream team, but...
No, I think one of them died, or two of them died, so the dream team's not available.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if it were you or me, it's 5 years prison.
Right. Okay, yeah. So the truck driver, you know, like, carelessly drove and killed somebody, and that's not negligent homicide, or...
Well, that's what they're trying to say. Now they're just trying to just tie it to anything. So, I mean, mens rea, your criminal intent is just out the window. It's just gone. Like, they don't care anymore.
Right.
Right.
And of course, the other thing I like about it is even when the victim involved, you know, some of those things where the victim's still alive or something, says, I don't want to press charges, and they say, no, no, it's out of your hands now.
Society's pressing charges.
Yeah, right.
So there's no more accidents.
Right.
And everybody's guilty of doing something to cause the accident, which makes it their fault.
Right. Like the truck driver had apparently logged too many hours.
Oh, that was it. That's why the accident occurred. That's why it's his fault.
Right. And that's why it's a crime, because he broke some regulation and some serious bodily injury resulted.
Mm. Yeah, you can see it now. You know, they're going to measure your tire tread. If it's, you know, too low, then that causes it.
It's going to be anything.
Well, broken taillight, you know, you're going to, okay, that's it.
Well, safety violation.
Well, you didn't push the brakes in time. You pushed the brakes too late.
Well, you were distracted. I mean, now I can be telephone, You know, I've heard radio.
Yeah, I can tell you from personal experience, tuning the radio, I mean, one of the best things that ever happened was the damn
steering wheel radio.
I'm telling you, because I can't. There's been more than one occasion I've looked down there to change that damn dial. Of course, now we got digital and everything.
And you look up and you're in a farmer's field.
Yeah, we're just about, yeah. That's right.
That's what happens, man.
You know, I was pissed at that one girl. You know, she dented my fender. I smacked her up one side, and you know, but I drove on.
So I love that Simpsons where Homer falls asleep and the angels pick his car up, and he's going through this magical journey, and then, you know, then they finally show him passed out, trailing like 400 yards of chicken wire, yeah. You know, all kinds of stuff.
Awesome.
So now here's the last news item, or second last one is Segway has teamed up with somebody.
Segway, the two-wheeled vehicles, right?
Exactly, right. Exactly. They've come up with a two-wheeled car.
Right.
Okay.
I think it was with GM.
Huh?
It was with GM.
Is that right?
Yeah, Government Motors.
It looks like the car right out of Brazil, the movie Brazil.
Oh, really? Oh.
The guy's little tiny car.
Yeah, right.
Except I think his had three wheels.
Yeah, it did.
This one has two. And they communicate with each other and a GPS system so they can't crash.
Hmm. Interesting.
They can't crash. Famous last words.
Yeah, famous. the new contest, you know, instead of Fast and Furious, you know, you're going to see, can we crash them?
Right. Well, no, what's going to be funny is if the computer malfunctioned and they all crash.
Yeah, the Will Smith movie where the computer took over.
Men in Black? No.
No, the iRobot.
iRobot.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing, speaking of that kind of can't crash thing, as of, I think, today or this morning, Miami finally switched over to satellite, whatever it is, landing takeoffs and everything, Miami Airport.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they finally decided to use a GPS. You weren't, you know, up until now, GPS, they had no, no procedures for GPS landings.
Right.
And, I mean, it's only been out in like 10 or 15 years, so they...
Right.
Anyway, Miami has finally upgraded.
I'm looking at
no crashes in Miami anymore.
I'm looking at this GM Segway. It's called the Puma.
Yeah.
The name of the car. Right, the Puma. It's the Personal Urban Mobility and Accessibility Project.
And how much are they going for?
Give me a minute.
I can tell you that on that show that I was watching earlier, they were talking about the you know, you got the greenies on there. Goes, well, the hybrid, that's like a no-brainer. You know, and of course, hybrids are on average $5,000 cheaper than a comparable car. And then the plug-ins, where you plug it into your wall, are $10,000 more because you got extra batteries and all that stuff.
Right.
And so, again, those are other costs that you were just talking about that
right.
get to add it in. And plus, you know, again, nobody's looking at the environmental harm from throwing those batteries away. And,
right.
And then making them.
Some people have tried to do that, but what if people don't realize... And this is one of the things why the market, why the price system does it so well. The smartest person in the world sits down and tries to, and they do this sometimes, they've tried to trace some product. It doesn't matter what it's milk bottles say or diapers. So diapers was a big one. And newspapers, another one. Try to trace it literally from the tree, you know, or in the case of diapers, cloth diapers, you know, from the sheep to the final disposal and everything. And they tried to trace the whole thing and figure out what the damage cost, whatever, what the real cost was, as opposed to Pampers, which have plastic and, you know, other, what do you call it?
Let me guess. The answer was a pile of crap.
Well, that's right. You got that right. It was a pile of crap. No, seriously, they came up with all this. And I thought, when I saw this study, I thought to myself, you know, I don't care who you are. You can't take it all in, number one. And number two, there's differences even between, you know, some kind, you know, if it's cotton or wool or, you know, I don't know, rayon, or if it's some kind of thin plastic, thick plastic, what happens if it's got a Velcro on it? And where did it come from? And
all ramifications have now been considered.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We have now put everything into the... But, I mean, it's just so funny because the price system does that just instantaneously. I mean, it's just... And it's self-checking.
Right.
I mean, it's just... It's funny. And, of course, I'm looking at this... Speaking of the environment, I've got another article.
No MSRP on this new car.
Well, it's $5,500 for the regular one.
Okay, well, it's going to be more than that.
And before we get off of driving, I got one more thing.
Okay. Right. Well, okay, so let's do a quick break, and then we'll come back and wrap up your driving thing.
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back with a Jimmy Doan Show.
Show.
And we're back.
All right. All right, and buy that.
Yes, absolutely.
It's so good. You better, worth every penny.
Mm-hmm. So what were you going to say, Counselor? You had one more thing?
I got two of them.
All right.
Okay. What I was going to say is okay, because of the Segway not crashing and all this, and people getting sent to prison for all this, your license is going bye-bye, so rent your Ferraris now and drive the Autobahn as soon as you can, okay? But in the meantime, I just want you to know that the DMV is still protecting you with a complicated driving test, okay? My 16-year-old just took the driving test the other day online.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, really?
Yep, yep.
Online, huh?
Wait, now, this is a driving test for this Segway?
For this? No, 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 for the state.
For the state.
Of Florida. We're off the Segway.
For any car, Jimmy.
We're off the Segway.
Okay,
for any car, so you took the driving test online.
No cheating there.
No.
Well, no, of course not. I mean, I didn't help her or anything.
Right.
And of course, I mean, and that's certainly a test of, you know, of her hand-eye coordination and her skill and stuff, I understand. And the questions were very complicated, as I was saying. One of them was, you come to a large red octagon with the word stop on it.
What do you do?
What do you do? Okay, hit it!
Let me go. What, slow down.
That.
Slow down a little.
No say, amigo.
And then keep going.
You got a rolling stop, man.
Right.
Yeah, it's called a rolling stop, man.
Yeah. So well, if it's got the white rim around the outside, it's optional.
But, well, so now, of course, they still have to take a driver's test. This is just this is just the part. This is just the written test part, right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think so.
No, no, you've got to take the driver's. There's no way they're letting you out.
Oh, you're talking about for the first one.
Oh, no, I think you are right. I think you are right. They did, because they did take out parallel parking. They told me that.
Okay.
They took out parallel parking out of the test?
Yeah, because that's right.
Whoa, your kid
got to be kidding.
No, because they're really not creating, they're not encouraging, certainly not on a government level, creating any more parallel parking spots.
Well, no, it's just too hard.
Yeah.
It's just too hard.
Well, and the testers couldn't really do it.
Yeah.
It's just too
hard. That is amazing. No parallel parking, my God.
That's unbelievable, man.
Well, that's been for a few years now, if not a decade.
That's unbelievable. I mean, I just did. Of course, that reminds me when they took the code out of the amateur radio license. Everybody gets one. You know, it sucks.
Oh, yeah. Hmm.
Yeah. You got it. You know, no skin in the game. You know, no pain, no gain. That's the way I look at it.
Did you have one more thing, Counselor?
No, that was it. I just want everybody to say, hey, man,
you just
driving kicks now.
Yeah. Well, you know, I did see where this, there's some place where you can go. They allow you to go. I forget. It's some airfield that they rent. And it's got like, you know, a 2 or 3 mile runway you can take the car. They got cars out there, and it's called, you get a ticket if you go 200 miles an hour, and
you can,
it
go
costs $2,500
to
for one day for three runs to get you up to 200 miles an hour.
Really?
Yeah, it's a circle. I mean, it's like the Indy or whatever it is, but it's huge.
Uh-huh.
And it's $2,500 is your thing, and you can bring your own car if you want,
right?
But they've got like three, you know, Testarossa, Ferrari, I don't know, DB6, and whatever they got, something that'll go 200. And this one guy, I was reading it in one of the sports magazines while I was sitting in the doctor's office, and the guy says, like the first run, the speedometer said 200 miles an hour, but they clocked him at 198. And so, you're finally on his third run, he got to 202 or something. But he said, most of the people that don't make it are just chicken out because they're scared to death at 200 miles an hour.
Yeah, I mean, it's fast.
It's, you know, that's like 200 feet per second or something, or whatever. It's, you'll see, 88 feet per second is 60 miles an hour. So 200 miles an hour is 2.5 times that. I mean, it's like 300 feet per second. That's like, that is like a football field every second. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Every, in one second, ding, went for the football field. Yeah.
Wow.
That's moving.
Hey, what state is that in again?
I'd have to, you know, this is one of those things when you're sitting in the doctor's office, you know,
You didn't take the magazine?
Nope, Fair not that one. I didn't have $2,500 either, you know.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
At least one or two of our listeners might.
I don't know.
Hey. We have two.
Well,
we have more than two.
Hey, it was a record month, by the way. Thank you.
That's right.
Listening.
Another record month. Yeah. And we didn't even do anything. We said this before. We get more people listening to us if we don't even have shows.
Fewer shows we do.
Okay. Well, more than Obama news, and we're going to talk about, this is one of the things I love. This is the King Canute thing. The news break. Obama, this is from the AP. Obama looks at climate engineering.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what he's going to do, literally, they're, this whole article, it's a short article here, science advisor.
I saw this, man. He's making a big AC unit.
Yeah. No. What he's going to do is, they said, Holden compared global warming to being in a car with bad brakes driving towards a cliff in the fog. And, of course, they talk, you know, have we outlined several tipping points? And, of course, they're talking about this one such milestone or reach such as complete loss of summer sea ice in the Arctic. It increases chances, really intolerable consequences and so forth.
Wait a second. Wait.
He's a 65-year-old physicist. And
by the way, global warming, it was in the 40s yesterday.
No, we had a record low. 40s. Record low here in Gainesville.
Global
April
warming.
April 7th, record low.
Ripping through Florida right now.
32 degrees. 32 degrees.
Thanks,
record,
Al Gore.
Record, appreciate yeah. Well, not only that, I was speaking of that, I'm digressing just for a second. I'm going to come back to this climate engineering because I want to read you one sentence. But before we get to that, I want to tell you that the National Hurricane Center in Miami has issued its prognosis for the summer hurricane season in Florida.
Yeah. Mm.
Lower than normal because the Atlantic is cooler than normal.
Mm. Mm. Global warming.
Global warming.
Well, it's all the ice melting into it.
I guess. I guess.
Well, thank
but
you,
that's
Al
it.
Gore.
They said that this is going to be a light year for hurricanes. So. But another geoengineering option he mentioned was the use of so-called artificial trees to suck carbon dioxide, the chief human-caused greenhouse gas, out of the air and store it.
Man, artificial, why not just use real trees? I mean...
Because
guy has been watching too much Pinky in the Brain.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's just amazing. What I mean, the gist of this article is that, think about it for a second. We are, figure the Earth as like a football field, okay? And all
drive
the,
by it in 2 seconds.
Drive by it in 1 second, right. And all of the humans on the Earth are like, a couple of mounds of ants.
Right.
Okay? And these ants, and Obama especially, are going to change the climate of the football field.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Yeah, they're going to build something the size of, like, a thimble.
Right, right. That's right. They're going to build something the size of a thimble, and it's going to change the entire ecology
atmosphere of the
football
stadium.
That's right. A Florida field, right.
That's right.
I mean, you know, the hubris. I mean, the arrogance of these people to think. I mean, as I say, it reminds me of the King Canute thing where they drug him out to the shore. And he's
we're going
to
reverse the galactic flow.
Yes, exactly. Reverse. What we'll do is, now, that was one of the things that I liked about, it's like in Star Trek. Well, if we change the gravitational constant.
Yeah, then everything works.
Everything works. You know, that's all we have to do. Oh, my God. So anyway, they had the record lows here for the 7th of September and global warming once again. I just wonder, I'm always curious to know, and of course, I don't really care. Personally, they were talking about the other big threat, of course, is they had it on the Discovery Channel, tsunamis.
Mm.
And they're talking about two places that they figure where they're going to have these giant earth slides and have
in the middle of the ocean
1,000-foot waves. Well, one is off the coast of Washington State,
mm-hmm.
and the other one is the Canary Islands.
Right, the Canary Islands. That's the good one.
That's the big one.
Which
they're talking about having a. They're talking about by the time it gets to Miami, it'll be still 90 feet, I think.
So we.
Oh yeah, no.
Oh, I thought it was a lot higher than that.
It starts off at 1,000 feet.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like 1,000 feet when it hits the Miami.
No, not Miami. It might have even been 300, but still.
Yeah.
Still, the fact is.
It looked like devastation from like Miami to New York or something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, seriously. Well, here in Gainesville, we're okay.
Well, yeah.
Seriously, if you were a terrorist, what you do is go take your nuclear bomb and put it
I love it.
Back to the Jimmy Doan show.
That's and the Jack Roach show now has that was the Jack Roach show that just kicked in.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, wait, how did that happen?
He hacked CC.
The Jack Roach show
can be regent
hacked into the Jimmy Doan show.
CC. That's right. All right. So did you have another thought you wanted to finish or did you want to continue on that one?
No. I just think the hubris, the arrogance of these people thinking that they could change. You know, well, here we got like 100 years of and of course carbon dioxide, as anybody knows, I tell you, is not the real threat. It's methane. You know, if the methane gets released out of the ocean or whatever, I mean, it's like 100 times worse than carbon dioxide.
Well, Barack already said we're arrogant Americans, so he was.
Well, that's true. So he's just following along, I guess.
I was thinking all those little ants on the football field. They probably had little tiny cow ants that were farting all the time, too.
Well, they're called aphids, actually.
Oh, okay, perfect. Mm-hmm.
They're aphids.
And that was definitely screwing up the whole football field.
Right.
No question.
All right, let's take another quick break here just to pay our bills, and then we'll come back.
We'll be right back.
All right.
Jimmy Doan Show.
Woo!
And we're back. And, boy, that was good to hear, too, I'll tell
absolutely.
You that.
Absolutely.
It doesn't get
very
any better than that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'll tell you.
All right, do we have a few more things here?
Yeah, I got a couple things. I'm switching now. To the last thing that is, let me just think now. Everything else is light notes after this.
Counselor, are you doing okay in your drive and you able to hang with us for a while?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, no.
Let me just see
you
here.
You have to stop at the truck stop or anything. You just let us know.
Yeah, I mean, and...
he's driving around to a bunker somewhere.
To a bunker.
That's right. No, he just stays on the road all the time. And
there's good news.
Jimmy Mobile.
You know, one of the things I've always talked about, there's
broadcasting
couple,
is
a couple pieces, absolutely. A couple pieces thing here on education, which is one of Jimmy's favorite things. Yeah, education, right? Ooh. Because it says nine states in Florida, I think it's one of them, is likely to ban their, excuse me, likely to cut the pre-kindergarten programs. Because one of the things that the feds had done is to fund the age 2 through 6.
Head Start.
Head Start and all that stuff. Yeah, and they're talking about cutting back because everybody's running out of money. And, of course, one of the things
so
that
we're going to leave some child behind.
Well, no. The fortunate thing is they won't be the indoctrination will start later. And so maybe they won't be so indoctrinated. I mean, you get them, you know, as Hitler said, if you get them young enough, or somebody, no, some preacher said that, or some saint said that, if you get them young enough.
Yeah, some preacher.
Some preacher said
if
that.
You get
I think
the
it was
young boys young enough.
You get them long enough, you can grow them up, and they will want to do it with
Father Flanagan.
Anyway, I thought this is good news because if they run out of money, which is, of course, what they will do,
no
the thing
child
that.
Behind left.
Huh?
No.
Say that again?
Nothing. Go ahead.
He's mumbling on the phone. That's okay.
So anyway, this is great, and I'm pleased. Fewer dollars per pupil, delaying expansion plans, and of course the what is funny when you talk about this here locally, they are it's government people trying to get government money. It's is what they say.
Well, they love education around.
Well,
here.
I know they do. Oh, they do. Oh. Well, we pass a new penny tax here for 3 years.
Hallelujah! Just a penny, though. I mean, it's just a penny.
Not quite.
Oh
it's,
no,
$13 million.
No, I was just a penny. They're just going to take one penny from me, though, right?
No.
It's just one. Well, it says penny.
I know that.
I mean, I tried
it already. I already did it. Yeah. I wrote him a letter. I sent him my penny. And didn't get a real response from him.
And they still kept his penny.
Because I'm all
in. Kept the penny, right?
Because I'm all in for a penny. It's when you want a penny every time I breathe, it starts building up there.
Well, that's the.
There's so a solution to that. Don't breathe.
That's right. So what they pass now?
Hold your breath.
What they pass now? What do we need?
Get a rebreather.
Remember now that they passed Amendment 24. Hallelujah. Remember that one? That we gotta love that.
That was the gays in the bathroom?
Right. It's okay. Even if you have a dong, it's okay to walk into the girl's bathroom. If you're feeling a little feminine that day.
Yeah, feeling a little
if you're
feminine.
Confused about your sexuality.
Is that county or city?
That's the city.
City, okay.
That's the city.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah, it's not the county, just the city. At any rate, what's interesting about this is there was a letter by actually one of an acquaintance of mine. I consider her a friend, but she's a screaming liberal.
Now you talked about this last on the first part of this show.
No, I didn't. State taxation would support education. I did.
Okay. I think no. Is it a girl?
It's yeah.
No, I think you did. But anyway,
We have the power to make change. All it takes is courageous lawmakers, a governor who leads Florida, and so forth. And so what they want to do is, oh, did I say eliminate special interest and roll out an income tax bill? I talked about that last time.
Maybe not. I'm not sure.
But I thought it was interesting because, here in Florida, of course, we have a constitutional prohibition against an income tax, and of course, she wants to have an income tax. The problem.
One of the few states. How many states? What, two states?
Four.
Four.
Four don't have an income tax, and,
so that's good.
And but only I think only Florida is the one that is in the Constitution. The others are by legislation, which they could change. But anyway,
they can change the Constitution too.
No, I know, but it's a lot more difficult.
I think we're going to get the death tax back, so that'll be cool to make up.
Yeah, that'll be just great. Awesome. Anyway, the point is what these people don't understand. You know, this is a classic case of people that are not thinking outside the box. I mean, education. The model for education is broken. It's simply broken. It simply doesn't work. And that is where you get the kids in the schoolhouse or in this room, and you put the teacher in front, and you lecture for a while to anywhere from 15 to 30 students. And the problem is that in any classroom, there's a bell-shaped curve.
You did talk about this.
I did.
You told us about the mentors.
Okay, then forget it. Okay, moving on. I'm going to move on then. And did you see where Ted Stevens? Is it Ted Stevens?
Ted.
Oh, yeah, Ted Stevens.
The guy in
right, reversed.
They reversed it.
He's not.
This is the guy who's the longest serving senator from Alaska who was accused and convicted, I think, for corruption.
Mm-hmm.
And on his appeal, the judge.
Based on really a one testimony. Really.
Well, not only that, apparently it was a pack of lies, too.
Right, and turns out that
now,
testimony.
Now, don't get me wrong. I have no love loss for this guy. He was the pork king. There's no question that he right. brought. this guy made Robert Byrd look like a piker who was also right. the king of pork. And they,
all right, so what did he do, though?
Well, what he did was
well,
they accused
guilty.
Him of.
He's still guilty.
Okay. Right, but he's on appeal.
Well, yeah.
And what happened is the judge, let me just tell you, what he's accused of doing was having a lot of work, $250,000 worth of work done on his own house.
Right.
At no charge from people who are contributing to his campaign. That's the way they contributed to his campaign.
And didn't declare it.
Right.
Whoops.
And so what he said was, look, I told him to send me the bill. And the prosecutor said, well, that's bogus, because nobody really expected you to get the bill or something. And they had the document. They had the print. So apparently there's a whole bunch of stuff that the prosecution failed to tell the defense that they had discovered. And in fact, he had asked to send the bill. And, you know, there was apparently quite a bit of back and forth on this. And the prosecution found out about it and didn't bother to tell the defense.
Whoops.
And so the judge, after he found out about this stuff, you know, about the third or fourth thing that went on here, the judge chewed out the government prosecution, the feds, said, you guys are totally incompetent, and then went and appointed a special prosecutor to prosecute the prosecutors.
That's right. He says it's worse.
In 25 years on the bench, he's never seen such an abuse of prosecutorial discretion, and he wanted to lynch the guys. So, you know, Ted, of course, for the first time in his life, smiled. He doesn't smile much. And but it was interesting.
The judge was Emmett Sullivan, right?
Yeah, whatever. Like we went on. But anyway, so it's going to be interesting to see. As I say, I can't believe that anybody in Congress 40 years doesn't have a bunch of corruption floating around. Don't get me wrong. But it does appear that, surprise, surprise, prosecutors sometimes are zealots.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
no.
Like in the Duke thing.
No, couldn't be.
Well, this is something else I wanted to know.
Oh, the Duke thing? You mean
the lacrosse thing?
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to remember his name. What was that guy?
Nifong. Okay, I want to ask.
He got some karma came back on his head.
Yeah, you bet. I want to ask my erstwhile barrister about this. Here locally, man accused of dealing in counterfeit crack. They caught
that's a federal offense, baby.
No,
it's the same crime as real crack.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you have a bunch of freaking
oregano.
Oregano in a big baggie.
Especially in a couple different baggies. Yeah,
you're going to jail. No, you're definitely
it's,
going to
jail. It's
down.
Intent to distribute.
Really?
Intent to distribute.
But isn't it just a civil fraud?
Not anymore.
Exactly. I mean, I would think, you know, hey, man, this guy is disrupting the drug trade, you know.
Yeah.
He's taking people's money, drug addicts' money. He's giving them, you know, flour or something.
Well, actually, what this was he said here it was baking soda and candle wax.
Okay.
And said he said to sell his cocaine. And apparently the guy who was arrested, they asked him, said, why are you doing this? He said, well, he sells the fake crack because times are tough now.
Yeah.
So he's in jail. But, I mean, seriously, I mean, what, he didn't do anything wrong.
No, yes, he did.
Felony. Multiple felonies still. And depending on how much he's got, he's looking at years in prison.
You're kidding me.
Oh, no.
It's fake. It's fake. He was selling baking powder.
No. But see, in his mind, he was dealing drugs.
No, he wasn't. He knew what it was.
Well, in the mind of the person who was buying it.
That's so arrest them.
Well, we arrest them too, sure.
I mean, what do you arrest them for? Buying fake baking soda?
Yeah. No, buying real drugs. They don't know it's fake.
Well, that's your mens rea, I guess. That's the intent, though.
Right.
Well, but I mean, but they didn't get it. Let them go.
No, it's true. But they thought they got it, and so the intent was there. Of course, there's no victim in that crime.
Right. There's no victim, number one. There's no victim. I mean, nobody, you know, they talk about the farm to the family and all that stuff, and there's no victim. I mean, you know, the guy's not going to get high, obviously.
That's a victim.
He might.
Yeah, that's the victim right there. What I'm saying that he ought to be able to sue the crack dealer,
exactly.
the ersatz crack dealer for mm-hmm. you know for fraud,
right? False advertising, man.
False advertising.
Well, that's what should be the remedy.
Right.
A breach of contract.
Breach of contract. Exactly right. Seems little enough. I mean, I can't believe they're putting this guy in jail just for selling baking powder and candle wax.
The Hanger Dog just had a thing on there where somebody was arrested for selling, or there was a drug trade that went on. It was fake crack for counterfeit bills.
That reminds me of the that's the old endangered species eating the other endangered
plant.
Species. Yeah, exactly. What do you do? Hello.
What's that?
Just let them fight it out. You know, if you're going to sell fake crack for fake money, then let them fight it out.
It's like when the endangered creature eats the endangered plant. What do you do?
Oh, right.
and that's all he eats.
Yeah, right. His diet happens to be the snow leopard. or whatever.
We gotta save the plant, man.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, yeah, that's great. Okay, moving on.
All right.
Another legal thing is I thought police in Detroit have ruffled some feathers. I love this. Have ruffled some feathers when they cracked down on an organized pillow fight at a downtown park.
Unbelievable.
No, I mean, Detroit News reports the police, whatever, presented the feathery fight Saturday night by disarming pillow-toting participants. The bout was part of a worldwide event organized on social networking websites. Michael Davis of Hamatrak said police confiscated the 32-year-old man's pillows but returned their cases. He was told that he needed a permit. Scott Veris of Ferndale told the police, it's not illegal to own a pillow. Detroit's police spokesman said cleaning up was the issue. Cleaning up the feathers.
You know, control, man. This is all about...
I mean, can you imagine they arrest people for a pillow fight? And, I mean, these are feathers, okay? And how long would the feathers last? I'm telling you, it's the first time... Blow... This is Detroit. And Detroit has got an unemployment problem. I mean, you got to have fun in Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
They had a humorectomy, Jimmy.
Boy, I'll tell you.
Humorectomy.
They did, too. I'll tell you. I took it out here and throwed it in the trash. Okay. And my last I like is Talking Bird Goes to Court in Boca Raton. An African gray parrot is being summoned to court in South Florida. The bird is the center.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, no.
I think I know this one. Now, the bird, original owner had the bird long time, lifelong bird, crazy bird lady, loved it. Bird flew away.
Right.
Bird flew away, blew it, gone, 3 years.
Right.
Gone, another nice lady, found her 3 years, taking care of her, spent money on her. It's her bird now, right?
Finders keepers.
Right. Possession's 9/10 of the law. Apparently not in this case.
Yeah, so two women met by chance at a Dunkin' Donuts and discovered their love for feathered friends. And then they realized the one woman said, whoa, that's my bird. I want it back. And she said,
yeah, it's gray. It has a beak. That's mine.
Yeah. So anyway, they filed a lawsuit and the judge ordered the bird into court. And I just wonder, is this going to be one of those things where they stand the two women at either side of the court and put the bird in the middle and see which way it goes.
See which one it flies to.
Yeah.
Well, that seems fair to me.
Well, except even the lady's only had it for 3 years. You know, she's like the closest. Well, I don't know. The bird's pretty smart. This is a African gray, for God's sakes, you know?
And in fact, did you see that one, Einstein?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I mean, Einstein's an African
bird. Of course, you know, I thought the bird was actually going to testify. This is, of course, they're just bringing the bird in as evidence of who owns it.
Right. So you thought they were actually going to question.
I thought they were going to say, like, what did you see or something, or where are the drugs or something?
Right.
under the bed. Right. 42 kilos, my last count, right?
You know, that would be, now I just wonder what if you could do is use the parrots as, like, couriers.
Yeah. Oh, there's a bunch of stuff you could do, especially if you genetically engineer them a brain.
Well you have to give them a little crack, they'd be happy as clams.
Yeah,
until they show up at
Happy Clams.
What's the guy's Fat
clams
Tony's?
With a brain.
No, Fat Tony's place. I think I've seen that bird before.
Oh. Hey, so I got a not so light note, which I know everybody's heard about this already, but it's worth mentioning again. 14-year-old New Jersey girl accused of child pornography because she posted pictures of herself on MySpace.
Yeah.
What kind of pictures?
They were nude pictures. They were full
nude pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She texted him was it on MySpace? I think we talked about this.
The 14.
Huh?
But this is the case. Since the last one was texting their pictures.
Right.
This is posted on MySpace.
Right.
But the point is that it's just more ridiculous behavior by the authorities charging these kids. I mean, you know, what's going to be next? You know, she's going to be charged with viewing pornography for looking at herself in the mirror?
Yeah, that's right. And now she has to register for the rest of her life. As a child pornographer for the rest of her life.
Oh, yeah, she may do 15 years in prison.
I think that they said they weren't going to ask for the full 15.
Yeah, they're like, oh, it's unlikely that she'll do that.
Yeah.
But, well, I'm glad it's unlikely. You know what they'll do? They'll give her a bunch of probation, but if she violates the probation, she'll get some freaking years in prison.
Can you imagine? I mean, can you imagine? I mean, it's just...
Years in prison for photos of yourself.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm kind of curious to know this. What would be the fine or charge or whatever, other than just a simple indecent exposure, if she streaked? You know, if she just ran out of the house nude into the middle of the street and then ran back into her house, what would be the...
Yeah, no, no,
distributing,
yeah, right.
Distributing
well, no,
child pornography.
Yeah, distributing. You can get as much as an L&L with that, which could be a felony child pornography.
Lewd and lascivious?
Right.
I mean, if she just
most likely it would be like you said, an indecent exposure charge.
Well, let me ask you this: what if she was most 8 likely. And ran out there?
Well, right. Then you know you get to that line where you know it's like kids at a certain age are allowed to run around naked.
As you were.
Right now.
Yeah, I mean, well, not only that, of course, the question is, where do they draw the line? I mean, I've seen some 12-year-olds that, whoa, you know, you would think that they are, like, all grown up, and I've seen some, you know, 16-year-olds that looked like 8-year-olds, so.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, where you draw the line in a society where there's no victim is the prosecutor draws the line. If your society has a system of justice that calls for a victim, that needs a victim, then the people who claim to be injured get to at least draw the first line, you know?
Right.
And that's how it should be. It should be, you know, if somebody's really offended by this in some way, then they should be able to come to the authorities and explain it and try to have a case brought or whatever if they can make a good case. But the way that it is in our society is if the prosecutor thinks that they can fit it into something that is illegal, then they get to charge it. And... you know, they don't really need victims or anything like that. So,
boy, I'll tell you, it's downhill, folks. That's unbelievable. I mean, that is just it's just scary, as I say, to see here locally. I mean, what they're doing. And there have been some talks about this. Interesting. I was listening to a Harry Brown speech on my car the other day, and you know, he talks about this what he calls the seduction of power. And when people get into this, right now, and this I've talked about this before, you should always watch Missouri Breaks. And that is, we've got, you know, you hire the sheriff to kind of protect your rights. But, you know, what happens when the sheriff goes crazy? You know, he's wandering around the town with his gun and, you know, walks into all these places and says, hey, you know, do this, do that. Bangity, bangity, bang. I got a legal right. I got, you know, I got sovereign immunity. Bang, bang. I mean,
bang, bang.
I mean, and I've never understood, you know, this, you know, stop or I'll shoot business. What the hell is that all about? You know, you're running away and the guy hollers, stop or I'll shoot. And I'm thinking, what? Why? I mean, what are you talking about? I mean, how do you judge, jury, and executioner, and they get away with it? I just, you know, it's stunning to me to see how far along these guys have got. And they, as I say, it's the seduction. And of course, the guys on the city commission, they're all noble and righteous and everything. They don't realize, or maybe they do realize the power that they've got, because they, you know, they arbitrarily are passing these little trivial laws to govern everything that we do. And the ultimate penalty is death. I mean, and I'm asking myself, I would like to ask them every time they pass one of these laws, are you willing to shoot the dog owner who, let's say, lets his dog out or doesn't have the leash that's the right length or poops on somebody else's property and, you know, you arrest him and he says, you know, F you, I'm going back into my house or, you know, whatever the hell it is. I mean, the guy's, you know, going to get the sheriff out there, draw a gun, and, you know, he leans out his window, says, you'll never take me alive, and then they don't take him
right.
alive.
Right, well, and their answer is going to be, well, reluctantly.
Right, I know that. Reluctantly, we had to shoot him. Well, I mean, it was. I mean, you know, you're talking about the threat to society, and they take this guy out. It's just stunning to me to see that they so lightly, you know, we give them this monopolistic, awesome power, and we say to them, look, we're going to give you this the ultimate phaser photon torpedo weapon, you know, Death Star, but we want you to use it only in the direst.
About now, they're hitting the button.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, look, what does this one do?
You're starting to explain it to them as you hand them the phaser and they're pulling the trigger. Like, what does this do?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is... Yeah, what happens if I touch this button that says, don't touch? That is so cool. But, I mean, they just, you know, they're in there like crazy people waving this gun around, high noon, whatever it is, into every store, you know, do this, do that. This has got to be approved. This is, you know, you got to stack this over here. You got to have this bathroom that looks like this or I'll kill you.
I mean, yeah. No. Well, especially right now, it's only at the level of, oh, you got to pay a fine. You got to pay me, you know.
And, yeah, I mean, they take it gives new meaning to the word protection. I mean, you know, I'm understanding what protection is from the mafia, but now these guys, these are bandits with a badge. I mean, these guys are out there.
I think more and more back to the days of the Middle Ages when there were roaming monks and also the Pope had his people out there too, so they were overlapping jurisdictions of these clergy, and basically everybody exacted a toll or a tax from you for whatever.
Yeah, it's like a checkpoint.
Yeah.
I mean, every time you go anyplace, there's a checkpoint.
And you don't have to go anyplace. They'll come by.
Yeah, right. That's the other thing. Yeah.
Perfect.
That's exactly right. Oh, my God. What was I saying? And you read, as I say, you read these letters to the editor, and these guys are all, I mean, their solution to this, like, for instance, locally here, out of a $300 million budget, they're looking at a $12 million shortfall because of property prices. They've just revalued it from $10 million to $12 million shortfall, they call it. And one of the solutions to this, you know, where we're going to cut, and of course they're going to cut, they're not going to cut the police or the fire, which they should, but they're going to cut the, you know, they're going to close the parks, and some other things like that, and
closing a park, I mean, it's like putting a rope around a forest. I mean, seriously.
You won't be able to go swimming up here or something. I don't know.
I know, but I'm just saying, I mean, they'll make it impossible for you to use the area, but I mean, I see that more and more where, you know, they've shut down the lake, you know, like, you know.
Use the lake, huh?
How can they shut down a lake?
It's closed.
Yeah. And they'll shoot you if you go out on it because it's a safety item. You know, you're not wearing your helmet. You're out there when you're swimming. So, you know, you don't have your seatbelt on or something. I don't know.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and finish out light notes and have a little fun.
All right, we'll be all right back.
Hey, I got to sign out here, guys. So it's been great talking to you all.
All right. Thanks for signing in, Council. We'll see you next time.
Okay.
All right, brother.
We'll be right back on the Jimmy Doan Show.
And we're back. The Jimmy Doan Show. Rock out.
All right, we got Council to stick around.
We kept him on just for a second here.
We got a few more things before we end the show.
Another legal thing popped up here we wanted to mention.
So, and his battery actually didn't die, so we're okay.
Yeah, let's go. Okay.
I swapped it out for a new one right here in the car.
All right, so what'd you have for us, Counselor?
What this is you may have seen an internet thing circulating, like we see these urban legend things. This one's actually true. This is about a guy who was defending his barn, actually. And some burglars were trying to break in. This is over in England.
His barn, B-A-R-N?
That's it.
Okay.
And they managed to get in, like a barn house or whatever.
Right.
They managed to get in, and he blasted one of them. Actually, he blasted both of them. One of them died. And they later came back, the Brits did, and arrested the guy. And before it was all over, he was sentenced to life in prison. Actually, before that was all over... this was back in like 2000 or so, right around the turn of the millennium. And they ended up getting his sentence commuted to 5 years, and he ended up serving 3. So,
what's the moral of the story? Did you shoot both of them?
Well,
yeah, exactly.
I think it was an unregistered gun was one of the charges.
Yeah, it was an unregistered gun, another administrative violation.
Right.
Now, there was some dispute as to where he was standing when he shot the guy. That is to say, I think he shot the one guy in the back, like as he was hauling ass out of the place. The bottom line is that, they sort of sowed that negative activity by him, you know. Let me
ask you this. Did the guy who lived sue him?
They tried. And I don't know if they were successful in the civil suit or not.
Can you imagine the attorney taking that? We're going to sue the guy you tried to rob because he shot you.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God. I mean, what kind of an attorney is that? Well, I'd do it. For the money.
Well, they really made these guys out to be, just young kids. One of them was like, 17 or 18 or something. The other one had a serious record.
Well, apparently they'd like broken into his house. These guys had a lot of break-ins.
Yeah,
before.
Yeah. I mean, this was not the first time. Yeah, the thing. Apparently, this was like the third or fourth time that the guy had been broken into or robbed or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and apparently he was also mentally unstable or whatever. But I mean, the bottom line is that they're removing your right, your ability to defend yourself. You know, I mean,
on your own property.
100 years ago,
well, it doesn't. But the deal is, you know, I'm not. I never have worried that much about the robber element so much as I'm worried about the cops. I mean, you know, the cops are not my friend anymore. I mean, think about it. You know, it used to be, you know, officer friendly and all this other cop come by the school and all that junk. But now, you know, you see a cop in back of you, you're thinking, Jesus, what have I done? You know, I mean, just.
What is he going to get me?
Yeah, what is he going to get me?
And the robbers, you haven't done just one or two guys. You know, you can scare them off.
You could do it yourself. You know, the police mostly are stenographers, for God's sakes. You know, how many crimes they actually prohibit, stop. I mean, the fact is they come by and write up the reports for your insurance company. I mean, and if you don't have a burglar alarm system or a, or something like that. You know, I got a light here that goes on when somebody walks by. You know, if they're going to know that somebody's going to be looking. And same thing with a fire thing. I got smoke detectors, carbon monoxide. I got, you know, all kinds of sirens that go off here if there's a flame that shows up. I mean, so, you know, I hardly need these guys that much. And of course, if I do get a kitchen fire, what's probably going to happen is I'm going to have smoke damage through the whole damn house anyway, and water damage if they show up. So,
you know. Well, but you know, to be fair, they prevented a bunch of stuff just by their presence there, probably.
Well,
you know, just like Homeland Security.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Well, that's the price. I mean, you know, maybe they've stopped you know, an airplane shoe bomber or something like that. I don't know, but. When you realize that the time that's involved, when you figure on a regular business traveler or something like that, has to spend an extra, on every business trip, has to spend an extra 2 hours standing in line, 1 hour going and 1 hour coming, say, and, you know, at $300 an hour, times, you know, 10 million, I mean, that's like billions.
Yeah, that's the cost they never calculate.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's like untold billions of dollars of lost productivity. And of course, what they'll say is, well, if one life is saved, I'm thinking, well, no, I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way.
No, and not only that, but, you know, that's part of our loss of competitive advantage with other countries.
Right. I mean, exactly. I mean, if you're standing in line, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, for God's sake. I mean, it's in that. I mean, that's just the part of it. I mean, I have no doubt that there are people now, of course, because they've distorted the market, I have no doubt that there's more teleconferencing than there used to be, and maybe some fewer business trips because of the hassle. You know, they find another way to do it. Okay, maybe they do. I don't know. But the point is, the distortion is there, and you don't know what the. I mean, the business has got to have a vested interest in making a profit, and the government, of course, doesn't. The government.
Well, I mean, the fact is, so many things rely on flying, and. I mean, it's been a huge imposition on our economy.
There's like a million people in the air over the United States like every hour or something.
Yep.
I mean, it's
yep.
whatever it is. I mean, and think about it. That's a million hours in line, okay, going. And then, I mean, do the math
huge. Like
I mean,
it's just billions of dollars.
It's billions of dollars of lost productivity.
Right.
And, okay, yeah, I haven't had an airplane crash, but... Gonna have one anyway, so, you know, as far as I'm concerned, let them have it. I'm one of those people that, I'm like the Star Trek thing where you have the little vaporizer things where, you know, if the computer says you got bombed, you walk into this thing and you vaporize.
I just saw this, I think it's an AP, where the U.S. will participate in group talks with Iran over the nuclear program.
Let's send them a note.
It's gonna be awesome.
A stern note.
A stern note?
Yeah.
That's good.
Grave concern.
We're gonna talk with Ahmadinejad, so, and I'm sure we'll work it all out.
Yeah.
Obama will.
There'll be no one to stop us this time.
Exactly.
That's exactly right, boy. Got it.
Well, actually, yeah. Well, I mean, that's about it, I guess. You know, I mean, I'm Winchester, but we also got to wrap it up here.
Yeah.
So.
All right, sounds good. Well, that was a great show.
It was.
Yep.
That's perfect.
Always.
We moved around and got a lot done.
Hey, and the telephone machine worked.
And the telephone, we loved it. We had our counselor on. Yeah.
We'll have to make some prank calls sometime.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, counselor.
Keep those emails coming.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Yep. Definitely.
Keep
and
listening.
And let us know if you're listening to on US Web Talk Radio or WIRN, and let us know you know what's happening, and you know,
coming through loud and clear.
Yeah, well, yeah. Actually, if we get enough listeners, we'll actually start making some money.
Yeah,
that'd be cool. Then we will do more.
We'll do more shows.
Let's not get crazy here, guys.
Well, we have a phone.
Either way, right. We're going to still keep bringing you the news ahead of the curve.
That's right.
That's right. You can always write us at Jack or Jimmy or Jack or. Yeah. Eric with a K or Curtis at JimmyDunn.com.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
okay.
Don't write to Jack.
Thank you.
Write to Jimmy.
Bye-bye.
April 8th. Jimmy Dunn.
Bye. Jack Rojo.
See ya.
Listen to Hanger Dogs. HangerDogs.com.
All right. See you, counselor.
Bye-bye.
I'm going to do something to you now.